Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Are Potential BS. So glad that you are trusting me with about a half an hour of your time. I promise to give you something somewhere in the middle of this that'll make you think, give you a pause for concern, good concern, I hope, and it'll make you aware of the beauty, the power, the significance, the height, the width, the depth of love, and its intrinsic value in life, how life is composed at every level of something, somewhere, somehow, of the value and the power of love. Let me read a statement that I've written over time. It's a part of a book manuscript that I'm working on, and here it is: the simplicity, the beauty, the power of love is found in the sheer impossibility of it. As soon as we surmise we have a grasp on love, the passionate nature of it will immediately outgrow our hold, and the race to grasp it again will always draw us forward. It's simple. We cannot live without loving or being loved, even as it is impossibly challenging us at every turn. That's where I'm going. That's how I approach all of these radio broadcasts, podcasts, and my blog, and other venues of my ministry. It is that love is that one thing that we cannot live without. We can't live without loving. We can't live without being loved. We can't live without giving love. Love is written into our DNA, and it's written into our human experience at every level. Even if we've lost at love, even if we've been burned or are wounded by love, love will just keep impossibly challenging us at every turn. We'll always be seeking somehow, somewhere to love. So today I want to talk about our love stories, our love songs. I want to talk about how we are telling our love stories, how that we need to tell others our love stories, how we need to share those stories. I've reflected many times that love is a theme of art in so many levels, whether it's painting, sculpturing, movies, stories, literature, poems. Just think of how much of art is shaped by the theme of love, how that love is how we are inspired to bring forth something, a work of art. We have had love. We've been in a love triangle, a love disappointment, a love crash. And so we write stories about how love has pained us. Or we've been in the ecstasy and the beauty of love, whether it's been as a mother, father, a brother, sister. We want to tell the story of that love. Love inspires. Love brings out the very best of us, even when it goes into some of the very worst of our fears and our nightmares and our pains. That's what love is all about. I often remind us here that, you know, if you are on any level threatening to never love again, no, I can't do it, I won't do it, no, leave me out of it, I can't even imagine loving again, I promise you, you cannot keep that promise to yourself. You will love again. It is impossible to stop love in your life. Oh, you can stall it, and you can even create a gap in life that may be large, but love will always draw you out. Like I said from that reading a moment ago, it is simple. We can't live without loving or being loved, even as it is impossibly challenging us at every turn. So in that, I believe it's important for us to tell our love stories. So first of all, it's important for us to tell our love stories to ourselves. Tell yourself a love story about your life. Tell yourself, remind yourself, meditate, on the best love stories of your life. Remind yourself of the moments when, as a child, there was a, I love to say this because it's been my experience, when, you know, sitting in fourth or fifth grade and that student across the classroom looked at you and your heart went, ooh, oh my, he or she noticed me. Wow. Remember that? Remember those early moments of the dawn of love in your life, and you thought you had found, in fourth grade, you thought you found your life mate. You thought this was the person of your dreams that you would never, ever be able to live without. That's what I'm talking about. Tell yourself those love stories. Remind yourself of those moments when that first blush just smacked into your heart like a water balloon hitting you in the face. In a good way. in a marvelous and beautiful way. Tell yourself the love stories of maybe to take it into other places of how somebody loved you at a critical moment. Remember those stories. Remember for yourself. Meditate. Ruminate. Go over again the love story of how a teacher took you under their wing to tutor you forward, how a coach took an interest in you in a good way and saw to it that you got a little extra motivation to get forward in life. Tell yourself the love story of how your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle or your grandparents, somebody said something at the right time that ignited your heart. Remind yourself. Tell yourself those love stories. If you don't, I don't know that we forget them, but I think they get lost in the clutter, our emotional and mental clutter of life. Remind yourself that you were valuable enough for somebody or something, that love ignited in you a light, a spark, a fire, and it created for you new vistas, new hopes, new dreams. You could live again. You thought again. I remember in fourth grade, speaking of fourth grade, a teacher who said in my presence about my failures of the past and my potential of the present, she said, well, that was then, but this is now. Well, it was a simple statement. It wasn't real profound or philosophic, but boy, for my little fourth grade mind, that was love. It reminded me that I could start again, or it didn't remind me, it taught me. I could start again. Maybe I can get a fresh start here. And I did. I sought to live up to Miss Gallagher. I'll never forget her name. I'll never forget that moment when she said, that was then, this is now. For me, that was a part of my love story. I recognized that I was loved and I had value that I could live up to. So learn over the course of any given day to tell yourself your love stories. Remind yourself how you met your spouse. Remind yourself about the first moment you held your baby. Oh boy, that stirs right now in my mind of when I held our children, when that first moment I felt that little weight of life in my arms as a new daddy. Wow, what a love story. I also remember the moments of falling in love with what I was doing, the work that I had found to put my hand to, falling in love with a neighborhood, a beach, you know, all of those things. What are your love stories? Make a list if you have to. Remind yourself, talk to yourself about your love stories. Here's an important lesson to learn in life. You talk to you more than anybody else in the world. We don't pray as much as we talk to ourselves. We don't have conversations with others as much as we have a conversation with ourselves. It's not crazy for you to talk to yourself. It's just crazy if you start fighting with yourself. It's crazy if you start arguing with yourself to put yourself down. But what's sane is to have a good conversation with yourself. To meditate is really about talking to yourself in a powerful, positive, loving way. Love yourself by reminding yourself of your love stories. Tell your love stories. Second part of what I want to talk to you about today is to tell your love stories to others. Talk about the people who brought love to you. Tell others about that uncle who taught you how to fish. Make sure that you're not keeping that a secret, that you have a favorite uncle or a favorite auntie, or there was somebody that was so generous in their life that they created for you a new experience. Tell people about that coach that really gave you a hope to be a better athlete or a better student or just a better human being. Tell people about those moments. I have the privilege. For most of my life, I've talked for a living. It's what a preacher does. I get in front of people and I tell stories, or I talk about my history, that how it's been of a value to me, how I've created a spiritual path. So it's not unusual for me to think about telling people my stories. But you know what? I do believe we each one of us have unique stories that are just begging to be told. There's something in you. There's a little book inside of you. Maybe you should write that book. But then again, maybe your book is that part which you verbally write for others to hear. To tell others your love stories, remind a kid, remind a teenager, remind an older person of a love story that had value. Make sure that you're not keeping these secrets a secret. Make sure you're not keeping these secret joys of yours some kind of valuable locked up in a crypt. Get it out of there. Open that safe up. Talk about your love stories. Tell others your love stories. You know, I have an uncle, Uncle Charles. I called him Uncle Dad sometimes, and he taught me how to fish. He taught me how to fish. He taught me how to put a worm on a hook. He taught me how to get that bamboo pole. Yes, that's how old I am. I fished with a bamboo pole with a bobber on the end of it. He taught me how to drop that bobber out there in the water and get it just right so that the bluegill, here in Wisconsin, we call them sunnies. He taught me how to throw that out there at just the right place and be patient and wait. Wait for that bobber to bob. Boy, you know, that created for me a love for fishing. I don't fish much, if ever, anymore. But boy, I tell you, when he would want to go fishing and he'd let me go with him. Ooh-wee, those were some good days of fishing. Uncle Charles. That's a love story in Randy's life. A love story of a full-grown man who worked the railroad, was a hard-working guy who took an interest in a kid, and a kid who needed somebody to take an interest in him. And I spent a number of summers with Uncle Charles down in southern Illinois, enjoying a few days on a lakeside or a pondside or a riverside. Just throwing a line into the water and learning how to love life. There you go. I just did it. I just told you a love story that is valuable to me. What happens when we tell our love stories is we inspire people to greatness. We can inspire somebody to a greater purpose. When we tell our love stories, we are sparking in somebody the idea that I have something of value to give somebody somewhere. I can always make somebody better by some small thing or great thing I may do. So first of all, tell yourself your love stories. Remind yourself, meditate, ruminate, and review your own love stories. Refresh your memory so that you are refreshed and that you're fresh of mind. Tell yourself your love stories. Second of all, tell others your love stories. Inspire the hope for love coming your way. Tell others about how, as I just told you about Uncle Charles, how that one simple project called fishing made the difference, helped to make a difference in a young boy's life. Tell your love stories to others, because you never know when somebody has just either publicly or, worse yet, secretly, they've given up on love. They've given up on love and they need a spark. They need to know it's possible to love and be loved again. So tell yourself your love stories. Tell others your love stories. And if you are of a nature to journal or keep a diary or write poetry, put it in writing. Tell yourself, tell others, but also make a journal. Make some love journal of how your venture in life has had the pathway of love all the way through it. As I'm talking to you here on this radio broadcast, I have in front of me one of my journals. I trust these journals of my thoughts and my recollections, my inspirations, and even some of my sadnesses. I trust these journals to put something into my mind that I need back in my mind. When I journal, I am writing down something, and they say that when we write, we are more precise. When we write down a thought, a feeling, a concept, a formula, it forces us to be precise about what it is that's floated through our gray matter. I write a lot. I've written a book. I have another book in my computer. And boy, please, everybody throw some positive thinking at me right now. I need to get that done. It's about love. Imagine that. But when we write, we are precisely crossing every T and dotting every I about what is our real experience. So when you write something and you sit back and you look at it, you ask yourself, does that even make sense to me? Because if it doesn't make sense to you, it won't make sense to others. So when you write something, you go back and look at it again, and then you refine it. I think there's something about the value of your handwritten journal, a journal that can be written down with your handwriting. I think it keeps a record for future generations to look back and say, hey, there's Randy's very handwriting. It's like you still live on that page. But regardless of that, I think handwriting is one of those things that slows us down a little bit. I type. I do a lot of computer typing. But I think handwriting slows us down. It's more contemplative. It's more meditative. It's more of a kind of an art in a sense. And then when you do write, make sure that you write in full thoughts that can be massaged or chiseled at a little bit. Or you know, in other terms, like you get some sandpaper after those thoughts and smooth that out and make it make some sense to you. So when you tell yourself your stories, when you tell others your stories, when you are forthright about it, then do something with writing it down. Put down in some form or another your love stories. I'm here again in western Wisconsin, northwestern Wisconsin. I'm in a time in my life where I'm doing a lot of inventory about what's good, what's right, what needs to change, what needs to get refined, how I can do a better job of my life at 67. I want to live to the fullest. I don't want to check out at any point. And in this time of my life, I'm living everything I'm talking to you about. I'm in the process of living this. This is why it's so fresh to me. I am asking myself this question. All right, you ready? How can I finish this life at 67, loving life more than I've ever loved it before? How can I finish my life from 67 to 107, whatever the days I have left on this earth? How can I live this life, loving life more than I've ever loved it before? I'm like anybody. I've had more than my share of disappointments. Love has let me down just like anybody. But I also know love is the one thing we as humans must experience in an ongoing fashion. I don't want to miss the next chapter that is called The Story of Randy Dean. I don't want you to miss the next chapter that is the story of, you fill in the blank with your name. What does that next story look like? How is it wrapped up, formed, shaped, founded in, and held by the power of love? When we are in that form of a priority, I promise you, good things are coming to you. When we erase the void, if we will. I don't know how you erase a void, but when we decide we're not going to live in a void, we're not going to live in a holding pattern anymore, we're going to course correct and we're going to aim for something not just monetary, not just materialistic, but we're going to aim for the highest value of all humanity. And that, my friends, is love. Tell yourself your love story. Tell others your love story and write something down about your love story. Make sure your love story is written for others to recall and to remember, and remember that you need to be reminded of your love stories. What I started this broadcast with is this statement: the simplicity of love is found in the sheer impossibility of it. As soon as we surmise that we have a grasp on love, the passionate nature of it will immediately outgrow our hold at any given time. The race to grasp love again will always draw us forward. It's simple. We cannot live without loving or being loved, even as it is impossibly challenging, us at every turn. So there you have it for today. I want to take a little extra time than what I've done in the past with an exercise that I ask you to join me in. And I think it's important for centering yourself, bringing yourself to an anchor for the day, for the week, for the month in front of you, to settle yourself at some point so that you can start right on any given day or week. So here it is. It's called breathing. This is not original to me. It's a part of almost every spiritual exercise in the world. Some people don't know that it's a part of Christianity in a very deep way, because the Holy Spirit is breath. You know, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he's like the wind. We don't know where he's coming from and where he goes. There's breath. And there was a one point where Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, "Receive the Spirit." To breathe is to live. And when we are not careful, and I would add we are often not careful, we're breathing shallow, or we're breathing threats and slaughters and anger and frustration. We're breathing out anger. We're breathing out hatred. We're breathing out other things that aren't so good. So it's important to intentionally, purposefully breathe. So when I come to this point in the broadcast, I tell people, put things aside for a moment. Make sure your hands are clear. You've got about three or four minutes here to do one thing with me. You ready? Breathe. Take in a good long draw of a good breath. Here you go. Come on, breathe. Hold it. And now exhale. Try it again. Make sure you get that air all the way down to the bottom of your lungs. Hold it in there. You ready? However much you can get in there. Come on. Draw it in. And now exhale it. When we breathe on that level, it slows our heart rate. It gives our blood pressure an opportunity to settle a little bit. When we do that, it gives your mind a moment to get clarity in a given time. And it's not just something you should do at a moment or of a day or at the beginning of a project. It's something you should do routinely through the day. If you're in the car, you can do this. If you're out, even just outside in the yard, working in your garden or mowing your yard, you can do this. Give yourself the chance to do the most basic of all human exercises, and that is breathe. Breathe deep and make sure you're calming and centering yourself. Why? Because you never know when you're going to encounter a moment where love's going to just hit you. It's going to hit you, the love of a flower if you're working in the garden, the love of a sky in the middle of June or July, the love of your pet, your dog running up to you, the love of your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your friend. Love. It's the thing that makes the world go round, folks. And you don't want to be uh, in short of breath. You don't want to be, when love's opportunity arrives, you don't want to be so scattered and twisted and stressed that you can't take in the moment. Make sure that you are in this life telling yourself, telling others, and recording your love stories. Once upon a time, back in the day, there was a group called Love Song, and they sang a song that was, "Lend an ear to a love song." I just so enjoyed just that phrase, "Lend an ear to a love song." Make sure you give your ear to a love song along the way, because love is in the air everywhere, every day, waiting for somebody to take in a good, solid, deep breath that will give love the chance to live again. Thanks for being here today. It's been a pleasure to share my thoughts, to tell my love stories, to encourage you and inspire you to tell your love stories. Let's get about doing something beautiful in this world, shall we? Can we just today decide we're going to do something magnificent, something beautiful? Because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. So thrilled and honored to be with you today for today's opportunity to talk about love. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are just BS. May you go about your day today alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.